Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. CBGB was supposed to be a home for country, bluegrass, and blues, but instead it became, famously, ground zero for the punk rock movement in the mid-70s, and a place where the 16-year-old me could feel like I'd discovered a whole new world, and it wasn't just because I was able to get served at the bar. Now the legendary club is being brought to life on the silver screen in a new movie simply called CBGB. Joining me here in the studio is the director of that film, Randall Miller. Randall, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And also joining me is Cheetah Chrome, guitarist for the punk band The Dead Boys, which played regularly at CBGB's back in the day.
How you doing?
Good. Randy, let me start with you. You know, CBGB's, and we did call it CBGB's with the S.
Yeah.
Was such a special place and a unique place and has remained so in the memories of people like me. How daunting was it, knowing that, to take on this project?
Well, I mean, you know, you're always going to have people with their memories and the experiences they had, but I thought it was important. There's a generation of kids that don't know how it started and where it started. And even myself, I didn't really know the beginning, what happened in the very beginning. You know, the Dead Boys, Television, Ramones, Blondie, all those great bands. You want to sort of give them, you know, give them due, see how they started. And there's so many unknown bands, too, that
right.
that we really sort of go into. And that was important to us.
So, Cheetah, when you first heard about the project, I mean, you have all those memories. Were you skeptical?
A bit at first, you know. I was kind of like, well, I mean, first, I mean, how the heck they're going to pull that off, you know? Because, I mean, there's, what, 30,000 bands that played there and over how many years? But as I found out, you know, what period it was going to cover and, you know, kind of the scope of the whole thing, I talked to Jody and Randy. I saw their hearts were in the right place and they really wanted to make a movie that was going to be fun and you know, just keep the scene alive for, you know, mm-hmm. for a new generation.
When Cheetah mentions Jody, yeah. that's...
That's my wife, my producer, Jody Savin. But we interviewed, I mean, more than 100 people. We talked to Cheetah quite a bit and John Holmstrom and so many of the people involved.
The guy who founded Punk Magazine.
Exactly. Right? And throughout the movie, there's like a sort of a subplot of the movie is sort of the creation of Punk Magazine and how that sort of visual style became part of the scene as well.
It's a sort of a framing device
yeah.
that takes us from one part of the film to the other. But so I guess the first thing you had to do, Cheetah says there were 30,000 bands
yeah.
that you mentioned at the end of the movie. You couldn't cover all of the history of CBGB and all those bands. So basically, this movie focuses on, this is the...
It's the beginning.
The creation myth.
Yeah, it's, you know, 73 through about 78, 79. We pick it up a few years later, but we sort of try to tell the beginning.
Well, in this scene, Alan Rickman, who actually looks like Hilly Crystal...
He's amazing, yeah.
The founder of CBGB's. In this early scene from the film, Hilly is talking to his right-hand man, Merv Ferguson, who's played by the actor Donal Logue.
I was thinking 50-cent beers and topless waitresses like that joint
Look,
down on...
The music will do it all for us.
You start playing that disco I'm gone.
Country and blues.
In New York City.
This club's gonna be different.
Country and blues.
Country, bluegrass, blues.
I should have never left my other job.
So that, yeah. that was the plan.
Yeah.
In one sense, he was right when Hilly says in the film, it's going to be something different.
Yes, well, yep. It was definitely something different. I don't think he ever really got any. Did you ever get any country bands down there when you were there? Maybe Alan Jackson was the only person who showed up.
I don't think anybody really you would call no. country. I mean,
no.
you know, Hilly get out his guitar and play a song
yeah,
every
no,
now and then, you know. But that was about as close as the guy that I saw.
Now, Randy, when you do a feature film like this, I mean, there have been other attempts at doing kind of musical biopics. There was the movie 54 about Studio 54 and, you know, Control about Ian Curtis and Joy Division
yeah.
and things like that. Some of these have gotten mixed reviews because it is such a, I mean, you're talking about facts that can be fact-checked and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, you do try and find the truth in everything. You are going to have to ellipse some places because you're trying to tell a dramatic story. You know, like the Dead Boys, we tell their story intermixed a bit with the Ramones and a bit with some of the other bands. Now, I think the Ramones at that time were already gone, but we try to sort of blend them together because you want to make it the most dramatic it can be. But we don't, you know, we say at the very beginning of the movie, we say, you know, this is mostly true. because it is mostly true.
Right, right. Now, you know, I have to say, I you know, on the one hand, I was grinning my way through this movie because the soundtrack is amazing.
Unbelievable, yeah.
On the other hand, I'm also checking off, like, nope, that's not how that happened. No, that did well, that wasn't there. And
I didn't drive.
You were too stoned to drive.
No, I didn't drive. I didn't have a license until I was 40.
Oh, wow. That's
you're talking, Cheeto, about the scene where you, the dead boys are on. Yeah. You're driving the truck.
Yeah, no, they never would let me. No.
But, you know, then at the like the last line in the closing credits, you actually refer to something, you know, one of the big, you know, inauthenticities.
Yeah.
Iggy Pop never performed with Blondie at CBGB's. Deal with it.
Yeah.
And I thought, all right, well, that's kind of punk.
Yeah.
That's kind of a punk attitude.
We had to have Iggy in there because Iggy is basically the godfather of punk, so to speak, or people do say that. And so we had to have him in there in some way, shape, or form. So we took that liberty.
But you were able to clear rights for a whole lot of great
65
songs.
Tracks in this movie. It's crazy. That's right. You know, Brad Rosenberger, our other partner, music partner, he really, you know, went a long way and made that happen.
Well, we're talking, of course, about the film CBGB. The movie premiered at this week's CBGB Music and Film Festival, appropriately. Here in New York, hits theaters nationwide on Friday, and the film soundtrack is out now. I'm speaking with Randall Miller, the director and co-writer, and Cheetah Chrome from the band The Dead Boys. Hilly Crystal actually managed you guys.
Oh, yeah. We were a big part of his legend.
Yeah. And now, you know, I mentioned how, you know, some of the actors actually, whoever the guy is who plays young Tom Verlaine from television.
Max, he's great.
As soon as he walks on into the bar, it's like, oh my God, it's young Tom Verlaine.
Yeah.
You are played, Cheetah, by Rupert Grint, best known as Ron Weasley from the Harry Potter movies. What was that like for you to see your young, like 22-year-old self on the screen like that?
It was pretty neat. I mean, when I first walked in, he was, you know, up there playing guitar. And, you know, just to see him up there playing and all that, it was a little spooky, but it was even spookier walking past him on the set. Like, I just happened to look over, and there he was, like, over there, and it'd be like, and I'd do a double take. One time he was sitting in a chair doing an interview, and it was, you know, with a dog collar and all that. It was like seeing myself, you know, 20 years ago, you know, I used to do interviews like that, you know? And it was very strange. I mean, he was a really good kid, and we really got along well. And,
so did you at some point walk up to him and say, do you know who I am?
No, he knew. He saw me coming. He was kind of like,
Well, the story of the Dead Boys, managed by CBGB's founder, Hilly Crystal, is one of the subplots, Randy, that runs through the film. And the soundtrack includes, you know, not just songs by Talking Heads and The Dolls and Television, but, of course, this song from the Dead Boys. Oh, that was a big song on the scene in the mid-70s. The Dead Boys playing at CBGB's a lot. Hilly Crystal, who founded the bar, was their manager. The song is Sonic Reducer, and it is in the soundtrack to the film CBGB, directed and co-written by Randall Miller, who's here, and Cheetah Chrome, guitarist for The Dead Boys, which you actually have an on-screen role. It wasn't just...
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I play a New York cabbie who doesn't like punk rock. And, you know, I actually kind of identify with him now. No, I still love my punk.
So who is the audience for this? Who is this aimed at?
I mean, this is a movie that it's a lot of fun. You know, it you know, it's R-rated, but it's a lot of fun. It's a movie for people who want to know about this music, who want to feel, you know, either go back to this place and have fun with this place. But it's not just for like, for older people that know the scene. It's for everybody, because it's a movie that takes you in this sort of journey, this sort of funny journey through this world. And these guys were, I mean, they were kind of a gas. You know, punk was funny, but funny in kind of a hardcore way.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think appeals to audience today.
I think the sense of humor was like something that definitely got missed, you know, at the time. Everybody thought it was all, you know, nihilism and violence and all that. It was mostly about humor. It was mostly about ridiculing, you know, society and what was going on.
I mean, right. They were punks after all. They were like making fun of people.
I mean, we didn't have a whole lot of tact about our sense of humor, but you know, it was or good taste, but you know,
That was also part of the point, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, you know, in terms of the look and the sound of the period, CBGB's is gone.
Yeah.
But there are parts of the set that look like you actually got the notorious toilets. And
yeah, I mean, what was really interesting, when we decided to make the movie, we got to know the folks who actually are putting on the CBGB Festival. And they had, in storage in Williamsburg, they had the bar, the doors, the toilets, everything. So when we built our set, we had that all shipped to us in a storage container. And I remember, like, opening up, you know, the bar. And it was there. Well, and the front doors had these, you know, front doors and bars will have a hydraulic system. Well, they had bungee cords.
Yeah.
I mean, these were the doors.
Yeah, and Hilton was actually thinking of taking the place out to Vegas when it closed. You know,
right,
when it closed.
I
think
that,
didn't he even have to keep the stage?
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing was...
The stage was someplace, yeah.
Yeah, there were pieces of speakers. There were speakers with stickers, your guys' stickers on them.
Yeah.
But the funniest one was when there was a scene where Hilly was sitting there, Alan was sitting there, and he goes to open the desk drawer, and he pulls out this deli menu, and there's, like, you know, circled the matzo ball soup and what he was going to have for the day. I mean, this stuff is vital. This was really cool. It was in the set. You know, we used it. So that makes it cool, I think.
Well, but then there's also, you know, there's a modern subway car that appears in a couple of shots. So for people who are going to nitpick, there are nits to pick.
Oh, and they're out there, trust me.
They're there. You know, the Brooklyn Bridge just looks a little different than it did back then, you know.
That's true. but, you know, the neighborhood, where did you film this?
Because we shot in a combination of, believe it or not, you know, Georgia and here and New York. So what we did is we built this club on a soundstage in Georgia. And then walking on the street, he'd come out of the club, he'd turn the corner in the Bowery or in Elizabeth or different places. But you can't, we're not, you know, I wasn't making a gigantic movie, so I couldn't afford to put cars all the way up and down the street. I could do little corners, little pieces. So we had to be very judicious about where we were going to do. Now, obviously the subway cars, you know, we had to steal those shots, you know.
Right, right.
So, you know, you can't pick up a subway car and move it, you know. We used what we had, which I think is punk, too. That's the authenticity of it, just sort of like being there and doing it, you know.
So now, with a young cast who, you know, grew up after CB's, you know, salad days in the 70s, early 80s. I mean, I know the club continued, but I mean, you know, the moment where it really was an epicenter. How do you explain to them... what they're doing and who they're portraying? And
well, I mean, there's so many videos now because of YouTube. There's so many of these great sort of, you know, some are great quality, some aren't, but they're amazing. You know, there's videos of these guys, of the Dead Boys, you know, of Stiv, like, hanging himself.
Yeah.
There's all this stuff that's on, you know, YouTube now, which there must have been people that were taking video. And there's video of the Ramones, there's video of Blondie. And then you talk to as many people as you can and try and sort of amass a story, you know, to try and make it feel as authentic as it can be. But the music always lives on, and the energy always lives on. So it's just capturing that energy and that essence. That's what's important.
Rupert told me that mostly he used the videos to get my part right, because you know, we never had a chance to talk really before. I was on set with him, and he had it down before he ever met me.
He is a pretty he's a scary looking guy when he comes on screen for the first time with his dog collar and the wide eyes.
The first time I heard him talk, I said, "Okay, he's not gonna have any problems." He just did a great job. I mean, just amazing. I'm so, you know, flattered and honored that
he had your mumble down too.
That's my one piece
Cleveland
of advice.
Mumble
was,
thing,
I said, he goes, "What?" Oh, I said, "How you doing with the voice?" He goes, "Well, you know, it's got an American accent." And I said, "Well, you know, if you just mumble," he goes, "Well, that's what I've been doing."
And Cheetah Chrome, you are releasing your first ever solo EP
called Solo.
And Cheetah Chrome playing at the CBGB Music and Film Festival tomorrow, Thursday, October 10th at Bowery Electric. And the film, CBGB, opening nationwide on Friday, October 11th.
And then it goes wider the following week.
And the film soundtrack?
The film soundtrack is out now.
All right.
Everywhere.
And includes not just some of the CB's artists, but people like Iggy Pop and the MC5.
It has MC5. It has...
The proto-punks.
Yeah. It even has some cool stuff from Blondie. It has a new track from Blondie, which is really cool.
Yeah.
They re-recorded Sunday Girl. And that's on the soundtrack. And our friends the Dead Boys.
Yes.
The band the Dead Boys, part of the story of CBGB's. We've been speaking with Cheetah Chrome, the guitarist for that band, and with Randall Miller, the director and co-writer of the new movie CBGB. Guys, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much for having us.
Hey, I saw your guy with a different girl. Looks like he's in another world. Run and hide, Sunday girl. Hurry up and wait. I stay away all weekend. Still I'm awake. I got the blues. Please come. Can't catch up with a working crowd. The weekend moves.